Last time,
a huge black dragon attacks the town of Westman. Our heroes help lead the townsfolk to nearby ruins that the town uses as shelters. While in the shelter, the gang explores deeper and discovers even older ruins that are magically opened up by Dave's mace. Inside Mimi and Galaxy, each find one magical item that will help them in battle. Deeper still in the ruins, they find metal hallways and doors that are open in electric keypads. They find a very old vampire frozen in time in one room. And in another, they find another vampire that is definitely not frozen. Defeating the vampire causes a floating platform to come out of before the three more vampires appear. The gang's new dragonborn friend, Jid, sacrifices himself so that the others can get onto the platform. As Jid slashes out the vampires, a blinking light envelops the group, and they then appear in another room surrounded by 30 armed soldiers.
In school, I had a teacher named Gandalf. Needless to say, I did not pass. But you should be prepared to pass on to
Dungeons and Dragons and Daughters!
All right, welcome, Dungeons and Dragons and Daughters.
Welcome!
Excelsior!
Hola, my friend!
We got Matt Lane back with us.
Woot!
Matt Lane!
He's going to be our bookend for today, because today's episode is going to be the last episode of our In the Beginning arc. So this is the beginning setup that I had for this story. This is where I wanted to establish the characters, get the world a little bit of established as well. We're going to flesh that out and have more details as we go along. But there's going to be some new stuff that we get introduced in here.
And a new monster.
There's always going to be a new monster.
There's going to be a very weird monster.
Okay, so last time, Jed, we fighted like vampires, and Jed was with us, and then Jed said go, because there's three other vampires.
I know, and he held off. He barely defeated the one vampire. And then he held off the other three while you got away, right?
Yeah, so
I've been
nice.
I've been watching it on YouTube.
Good job.
Okay, so one of the things that I told myself I would never do with this episode is give big like story monologues of events that didn't actually involve any of the player characters. But this is episode 5 and I'm already breaking with that. So there's a monologue that I want to read here. So it's a little bit of a description of an event that is happening in the world that you don't know about, but I think it adds to the story and it adds for the listeners and watchers at home for the entertainment value and keep the story moving along. So if you don't mind, I'm gonna read that to you. All right?
I don't mind.
We
at
are
all.
Listening.
Okay. Off the southern coast of Miam, the capital city of the human kingdom, the Commonwealth, there is a small island that can be seen gleaming in the distance. All the fishermen and locals of Miam know to keep their distance away from this island. It is dangerous, mysterious, and thought-provoking, with the latter two being outweighed by the former. Everyone knows that inevitable and immediate death comes to those that don't belong there, or even to those that don't belong too close to there. Everyone knows this, but not a small pride of griffins on the hunt. Game has been sparse the last couple of days, and hunger has driven them to look for new hunting grounds. Perhaps if they had been able to live in the area a little longer, they would have seen or heard what happens on this island. Where the fishermen keep their distance, where the curious do not dare, and even where most of the wildlife has learned to give a wide berth, three griffins dive down towards the coast of a rocky and shiny island. Large metal towers dot the stone-covered shores, gleaming towers with a shine that hasn't been seen in the world for millennia, point defiantly up at the sky. No flags on these towers, however, only a mechanical disc that seems to hover just above the metal surface. As if spotting the griffins, the discs on two of the towers stop spinning, and large panels fly open with a squeal and whirring of machinery. Metal tubes metal tubes twice the length of a horse cart unfold and swing out, pointing their hollow ends at the descending griffins. Most folks would recognize these machines as defensive measures, but in this world, most think they were pipes, ready to spray oil or boiling water down on the intruders. If you were a Tinker Gnome from the southern part of the Red Forge Kingdom, you would immediately recognize these as guns, and you would long to study them and discover their secrets. If you were from another world, altogether, you might recognize them as gigantic machine guns, but the likes of which more advanced and impossibly more deadly than anything you've ever seen. Rapid fire thunder explodes from the towers and rolls over the island, rocks and waves below. The griffins don't hear the thunder. You see, the explosions from the guns come a great deal slower than the blue energy bolt streaking towards the flying pride. The guns fold back into their towers while the griffins are still in the air, but again, that's only because the feathers and chunks of meat that is left from their bodies travels much slower than the bolts that were fired at them, and the griffins' remains have yet to hit the salty water below. This island, as all the locals know, is the island of Atlantis, and you are not welcome here.
So what does that all mean? I wasn't listening.
So in this world, there is an island of Atlantis that's off the coast near the human.
Fishermen, stay back from yep. it.
It's a dangerous island. So it's just to paint the picture of this world a little bit more, just to give a little bit more detail. Yeah. So, and it's a little bit of foreshadowing because we could encounter Atlanteans. We could encounter the people or creatures that are on that island, or maybe perhaps we have to go there at some point in time. So left off at a cliffhanger. So Mimi, Galaxy, and Dave, you guys got transported to another room through this mysterious floating platform in the old ancient ruins that we were in.
And I did not hear anything.
Because you were not paying attention, or can you not hear me?
Well, because I was off to my own mind.
Oh,
because
you weren't paying attention. That's fine. I don't care. As long as the other people hear me.
That's right.
I burped three times so far.
Yeah, I imagine that it like, lifts us up and, like, through a hole in the ceiling or something. Or just to another higher level in the same big room, or is it? Or
well,
can
no.
You explain
it,
well, to me?
See, that's the thing you don't know is that so the thing it raised up out of the ground.
Yep.
And you guys, the last thing you saw before you got blinded by the white light was Jed fighting off three vampires and keeping them away from you as you were on this platform. So
did Jed die?
No. Well, you didn't see it.
We don't know. He was fighting three vampires. We didn't see if he died or not.
Yeah, so it's the odds are probably not good because the three of you barely was able to take on one vampire. And so now it's three vampires versus just Jed. So it did not look good for him, but you did not see him die.
But I'm
so there's
scared.
Always hope. There's always hope.
There's always hope.
I'm really sad for him.
So in science fiction and fantasy, no one really ever dies. There's always a way for them to come back.
Wait, did we defeat the dragon yet?
No, we didn't.
No one has even touched the dragon.
We are no match for a dragon.
No, there are lots of loose threads right now that we're going to try and get tied up.
Phew!
Or at least we'll address them. So the three of you are now in a new room that looks similar to the one that you were in before, but it looks way older. It's way run down. There's no metal that you can see anywhere other than the circular platform that you're on.
But we were surrounded by people.
That's right. You are surrounded by people. You are now in a room that's mostly of stone and dirt and dust, and you are surrounded by 30 people. And it's people, and it's made up of people, of elves, of dwarves, and you even see gnomes in the group. And they all jump to their feet, startled when you appear in front of them. And they draw their weapons, and they have them all pointed at you right now.
We mean you no harm.
She has some harm.
And a man walks forward. And he's a tall man. He's blonde, blue-haired. He looks to be a little on the older side. He's in his 40s. He's wrinkled, but he looks like he's in incredibly good shape. But his clothing and the armor that he's wearing is unlike anything that you've ever seen before. It's like you've never seen he's human, but you've never seen a human wear armor like this before. You've never seen, it doesn't appear to be elvish or dwarvish or anything. And he comes up And I've been trying to work on a voice for this guy. So you'll have to bear with me as I work through this, because I'm terrible at accents. and I'm also, because he's supposed to be a gruff military type officer type of guy. So it has been difficult for me to like come up with dialogue for this character without a good bit of swearing in there.
I don't say blah, blah, blah.
You got to come up with those fake swear words.
Right, right. So like kick butt.
Yeah.
And what are you scuzz buckets doing? And yeah. Who the heck do you think you are?
What's your grimy problem?
Right, right.
Wanna.
So this guy walks up, and he puts his hand on his hip as he looks at the three of you, and everyone else in the room's got their swords, their spears, and there's muskets. Although your characters probably don't know what those are, but there's some of the people in the room, they've got muskets.
Yeah,
it's a musket.
A musket. It's an old style gun. And it only fired one shot, and then you had to then pour some powder and other stuff into it, and then you had to put the bullet in it, and
tamp
then
it all down.
Tamp it all down and prepare it, and then you could fire it again. All right, what do we got here? Who the heck are you three? And how the heck did you get into the middle of our camp?
Well, I'm Mimi, this is Galaxy, and this is Dave. And
hello!
We under...
Hi.
Under us are vampires and...
You're a vampire?
No, we are not vampires. I am a priest of mission.
And that's when look over and the head of the vampire that you had killed bursts into flames. Because I described last time that in this room, the room has actually got a big, huge hole in it, and there's sunlight that's coming through.
Oh,
and there's dust and
it.
Wind that's coming through, and the head got hit by the sunlight and burst into flames.
He just killed that vampire.
To emphasize your story and further support it. So when that bursts into flames, there's a couple of guys that jump back and says, ah!
Well,
they flinched.
Well, those are that's the vampire head that we killed.
I can see that. So you're not vampires?
No.
No, sir.
All right. Well, it's sunlight out, too.
And thank Mr. Call for that.
I don't have pointy teeth.
Mr. Call, I want you to roll, Matt, as Dave, roll a perception check.
So I got a 7.
Congratulations.
Okay. All right. So you don't notice anything off of that roll. There's something in particular.
But my wisdom is 15, so I don't. Oh, because I have to get above? Wait, that doesn't make sense.
No. So there's this difficulty class. There's this DC mechanic that I determine.
Oh, gotcha.
And so I have a certain level that you need to roll above.
That makes sense. Yep. Okay.
All
right, so I do not perceive anything.
You didn't perceive the particular thing that I wanted you to roll that for. So, so this man says, well... Hold on, I got some questions for you first. So how about we have ourselves a little chat, and then you can get to know me.
First, can you tell us your name?
My name is Ian. And I do want to point out, so this is the character, Ian, that I named...
Is he Southern?
This NPC is...
He's Southern.
I'm trying to do a Southern accent.
Yeah.
It's not bad. And I've heard worse ones on TV. Like the actress who plays Beth on The Walking Dead, your Southern accent is way better than hers.
And I'm not trying to do like a real deep South accent. I'm thinking something like that, almost like a Tennessee or a Virginia Southern accent, kind of like the Appalachia.
Well,
area.
No. Yeah. Well, like I can do a Texas accent. You got some, you and Donna juggle in there with it.
That's your
I've been down accent. South a few times myself, down Texas way, myself.
You know, I'm just
been
traveling
to Georgia as well. To all those peach.
So, flowers. Are we going to be doing character voices this episode?
No.
Is that what's happening right
Maybe.
Now? And everyone's from the South.
Yeah. I'm Dave. I weigh 40 pounds.
Hi, my name is Dave.
I'm adorable.
What if Dave was just a deaf singer, a death metal singer?
<name's> Dave. I worship musical.
You couldn't keep that voice going
no
for
way.
The entire episode,
no
could
way.
You?
No.
My name is Galaxy.
Oh, God, no. No. No.
I'm done.
No.
I could keep this voice because
hi, my name is Mimi.
All right, end of show.
Goodbye.
Bye. Opa.
I would do the world a favor and cancel the show and delete all the episodes if that was your character voice.
Oh, jeez. little voice, would you throw me off the edge of the world?
No, I wouldn't do that because you're my daughter and I love you. Oh, thank you. But your character voice was atrocious.
I'm Galaxy!
Hi, I'm okay. Mimi. Sometimes I get a little drunk.
Mimi does like the whiskey. So Ian, he is named him after after someone that I met on Twitter that's a fan of our show. I think he's a number one fan of Dungeons and Dragons and Daughters. And the questions that he's had and the support and the following that he's been doing, wanted to give him a little bit of reward of naming an NPC after him. So,
Ian. If you guys become our number one fan, you'll get your name right in the game, I think.
Maybe. Yeah, if we get a lot of other supporters that support and follow us as much as Ian has, then there's definitely a chance we can name more NPCs after more people. So Ian says, all right, so I got some questions for you. But I kind of don't like doing it right here in the middle of the camp, surrounded by my men. So he looks around, he's like, boys, you can lower the weapons. They're not demons. They're not conjured evil creatures that are out to kill us. Are you?
Nope.
No, sir.
Not at all. All
right. That's good news. That's a good deal.
We kill people, though. No, we don't.
We don't kill people. We've killed goblins and kobolds. Yeah. Vampires. We have never killed any people.
I was going to say, what sort of people have you killed?
He just
goblins and kobolds and vampires.
That's good to know. So it sounds like that the three of you are enemies of evil creatures as well.
I said, I serve Mishikal.
And that's good to see because we've got a couple of devotees in our unit. They would be really happy to have a priest among us.
I would love to meet them.
Well, maybe you can give us a sermon later.
It would be my pleasure.
And it's an honor to have a priest. It's one of the reasons why I haven't asked to take away your weapons because it's having that mace there. That's a pretty good sign of your worthiness and trustworthiness. So we're gonna let this slide for now.
No one will take my wand.
Well, all right, but
no one's trying to.
Just make sure that you stay on good behavior. Otherwise, we might have some words.
Only with evil.
All right. So, Rusty, show the three of them over to that that secured area that we just discovered. So, and this dwarf comes walking over, and he's a dirty dwarf, but not like he's filthy, but it just looks like he's had some like black paint or black dirt applied to his face.
Is he silly running?
No, he is one of the sourest, direst looking dwarves you've ever seen.
Is this his voice?
Is that no, he hasn't said anything yet. He comes up, all right, boss, I'll take him. Follow me.
No, this is his voice.
Hey,
Rusty, let me ask you a question. You got any ale or whiskey around here?
Yeah. Well,
share some whiskey.
We got some ale for the troops. So if you're thinking about signing up, then maybe we can quench that thirst of yours.
So if I sign up,
maybe you got
not signing up.
You got to talk to Ian about that.
But he's not.
So Rust. So let me finish describing. So Rusty is a dwarf and he's wearing all thick black leather armor, and he's got like a dagger hidden just about everywhere. So he is, and he seems to move with more of a cat-like grace than you've ever seen in a dwarf before. So he's a dwarf sort of rogue type spy assassin type of character. He's got jet black hair, big black beard that he's got tied into a real tight braided knot that goes down to the middle of his chest. So he leads you away from the 30 men. 30 men and women, I should say. So this company of people is... It's a poster of diversity. So there's humans, there's elves, there's dwarves, there's gnomes, and there's men and women of both.
Is there anyone here that's 200?
One of the elves raises their hand and is like, I'm 300.
300 what?
300 years old.
Wow.
So dwarves look to be pretty old too.
As an elf?
They do. Not as old as elves.
Not as old as elves, right.
Yep.
Sam is pretty young.
I'm 75, which is 14 in elves.
Yeah, so you're pretty darn young for an elf. Rusty leads you away from the group down a stone hallway. So I want everyone to roll a insight check.
7. That's with my add-on. Getting the bad rolls out of the way early. Fingers crossed.
I got a 9.
Birdie, what'd you get?
7.
7? Okay, no one did great. So Rusty leads you down this hall in these ruins. And these ruins look very, very different compared to the ruins that you were in with Jed before. They feel different. The air is drier. It's hotter compared to where you were before. And this room, with part of it being collapsed, that, or the room that you got let out of that all the 30 men were in, part of that room was collapsed.
And women.
And women, the 30 men and women. Part of that room was collapsed. 30 people. The room with the 30 people in it.
15 girls and 15
men. You never specified that.
Yeah, I didn't say that it was equally men and women.
I know.
So, but that room.
There's 900.
Part of that room was collapsed, and it was actually exposed to the outside air, and it had sunlight coming in. So it's like where you're at right now seems very, very different compared to the ruins that you were in with the vampire and Jed before. So Rusty, the dwarf, leads you back down a hall that's got torches up on the walls. And he leads you into a supposed dead end. So this is a room that there's no any distinguishing features in, but it's all stonework, but it's weathered stonework. It looks like it's been beat up over time by wind and sand over the years. But the reason he brought you back here is because there's no other way out. And all right, you got to stay here. Ian's going to come in and he's going to do some questioning with you. All right. And I feel like I just did a combination there of Rusty's voice and Ian's voice.
You did.
Okay. I didn't mean Rusty to have a southern accent too, but
okay. Whatever,
we're going to roll with it.
Okay.
So he gives all three of you a nod and he walks out of the room.
Wait.
Yeah?
Why do we have to wait down here?
Well, so this is a secure area.
And he wanted us away from the other people.
Because Ian's got some questions for you. Because, I mean, you just appeared out of nowhere and that's mysterious and thought-provoking, I guess. All right?
I'm a wizard.
Ian will be with you in a couple minutes.
I'm a wizard.
Thanks, Rusty.
All right, so you guys have a couple of minutes available if you want to converse.
I want to do a perception check.
Okay, go for it.
I got a 15.
The room is, there's really nothing remarkable about the room that you're in.
But I want to see something like if there's anything written on the wall.
There's not anything that's written on the walls, but the stonework here is different than the ancient ruins that we were in with Jed. It's, you get the feeling that these are completely different ruins compared to the ones that we were at before. And you hear some talking and footsteps. So you don't have much more time to converse with each other if there's anything that you'd like to talk about or bounce off of each other.
But I just yell, hello?
So Ian does show up at the entrance to this room. I kind of want to just kind of fast forward over this part because he's just going to have a lot of questions for you. And his request is basically just tell me everything. And so I guess my question for the three of you is, do you actually tell him everything? Like all the way back to meeting up in the forest, fighting the kobolds, getting the Westman.
I think that's what Dave wants to do as well.
Okay.
But being a servant of Mishikal, Dave is he's an honest halfling. Ian, we start from the beginning when we all met up.
No, we are talking
when I came upon them fighting those kobolds.
No, but this is what I'm talking about, how I've been born. So
you really go back to the beginning.
Beginning.
I remember the first time I took steps. The first time I ate pancakes. Well,
75 years and 10 months ago, my mother and father had a night of magical wonder.
So this was just like a vomit of information that you all do. Could I describe it that way? Okay. So I'm taking you by jokingly saying that you start from the very beginning about when you were conceived and born and all that. That is just like you don't leave out any details.
Nope.
Like anything that's happened over the last couple of days, you just spit it out to him, and he looks at you unblinking with his mouth slightly open. I'm going to say this took a couple of hours to get through all of this with Ian.
Because I told about my 8-year-old life.
Well, no, there was just a lot of detail and a lot of story to tell. So his mouth is a little open. He's staring blankly at the three of you. And he says, all right, so you just left your friend behind to die.
No, he did that.
He told us to go. He held them up so that we could get away.
How do you feel about that?
I feel
really
very
crappy.
Yeah, I feel
like I want to do something to him.
But
you probably want to get back to him. which stinks because the three of you are very, very far away from Westman right now.
We are?
We're in the mountains of the Red Forge Kingdom.
Now my mouth is hanging open.
So you would know these because these are...
Oh,
so,
I knew this.
It's a little bit of a geography lesson for this world. So where we were at, we were on the eastern side of the continent. And for Dave to get to
we're
Westman...
We're already tired of you talking about that.
Because I said geography lesson?
Yeah.
So for Dave to get to you, he had to travel through the Midwest area where the... halflings are, and he had to cross over a set of mountains where the hill dwarves are, and then he had to pass through the forested area on the eastern side of that, and then he got to Westman and met up with the two of you.
I studied a lot of geography when I was in wizard school.
Sure, why not? So, past all that, to the west, beyond halfling country, is when we start getting into prairie, desert, and then finally the mountain kingdom of the Red Forge Dwarven Mountain Kingdom. You guys are literally thousands of miles away from where you were.
Oh,
that is crazy.
That's so crazy.
So, you have no idea how you got here.
No, I want to go back home.
We got on this platform. And then...
So you were in these...
We were in some underground tunnels. There was some really old, ancient vampire locked up in a room that we were told not to even make eye contact with.
So weird.
So this friend Jed of
yours...
But
you couldn't see. You couldn't see it.
He told you about a prophecy about the three of you to save the world or destroy it unless he helped you. Is that right?
Yes.
Hmm. You still got that dragon tooth?
Yep.
Did I have it?
Yeah, it was the rod of dragon fear. Yeah, you still got it.
Yes,
I still got my pillow.
That's good.
I'm actually hugging it.
And what's with this? And who is this guy character that fights with an oar?
He's just one of the townsfolk of Westman, but he's handy in a pinch. I'll say that.
All right.
Besides, we told you everything, so you probably know.
Did you ever find out what happened to that mysterious stranger that was stealing all the stuff from town that you got that dragon tooth from?
No, we found his middleman, but we never found the thief himself.
He just disappeared on you.
Are you him?
I don't see any reason to keep you in this room anymore because you seem like okay folks. So sorry to put you all through this. Any questions for me?
I want to know, where are you people from?
We're from all over the place, but we come together for a common cause.
Which is?
We are here to fight evil, my friend.
We're in some sort of ruins right now in the Red Forge Mountains?
Well, these are some new ruins that we came across recently. The King Elik gave us permission to explore a little bit more around in this area. Cause
I take it that's the Dwarven King?
Yeah, and you would know that name.
That was an aside as a player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dave would totally know who Elik is. His name is Elik Fireforge, so he'd be King Fireforge. And he is the king of
the Red Forge.
The Red Forge Kingdom.
Kingdom.
Which is a kingdom of dwarves. So the dwarves hold domain over almost the entire mountain range and a lot of the desert. So yeah, so there's your geography lesson overview that's there. So,
But I have another question.
And Ian is a human, you said?
Ian is a human.
But there are humans, dwarves, and elves in this group.
Correct. And gnomes.
And gnomes.
So Ian's group that he's with right now is just an exploratory, smaller group. They have a larger contingent that's at their home base.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Well, tip for Ian.
Sure.
Is there any area where we can camp for the night?
I don't see why you can't camp with us.
And is there any food place somewhere?
We've got provisions. We can serve you some food and serve you some drink if you're thirsty.
We'll pay ya.
Oh, that you don't have to, but that we'd be much obliged.
I don't have money with me, so they're paying. No, you do.
Cheapskate.
You have gold.
So I hope you don't mind, but it's so we've got some context. We're going to be sending some birds. We just want to get a little bit more information, see if we can corroborate any more of your story and what's going on. Because if what you say is true, and I don't have any reason not to believe you, that means we've got a big freaking black dragon that's flying around causing all kinds of trouble for everyone. And that's something that we're going to have to deal with at some point. But we've got some problems locally here as well. I hope you don't mind. I'm going to assign you a chaperone of sorts. But she could show you around. She'll introduce you to the boys and girls. And
I have another question.
Sure.
Is there a certain... It's about the camp thing. Is there a certain area where we can't, like, set up a tent or something?
Oh, so we are in... So you could go outside. Right now, we are in some stone ruins right now. So you wouldn't need to set up a tent.
Oh, so like sleeping bag.
Yeah, so you could just roll out your bedroll. So Ian does tell you that he doesn't suggest you trying to camp outside if you don't feel comfortable bedding down with the rest of the boys. But there's creatures that are out there that roam in the night in the desert and the mountains, and it's just not the safest place to be alone. So he suggests that you stay in the ruins and stay close to their camp. These ruins we just discovered, and so part of our mission in fighting evil is that we're trying to find old relics, old technology from the ancients and the old ones to help us be better prepared to fight that evil, because we think that we've got evidence that there's been a swelling of evil that's just spreading across the world right now, and this black dragon that you tell us about, the vampires that you encountered, we're getting reports like that from all over the world, that there are big, big nasties that are seemingly coming out of nowhere and causing all kinds of problems. So we're doing our best to see what we can do about that. But that's why we're here. We're trying to find what we can.
Have you defeated anything yet?
No, not yet. But we're new. We're new. We just got together. And so we're recruiting. We're getting our resources together. We're making contacts. And... we're doing what we can. We call ourselves the Musketeers, because the Tinker Gnomes from down south, they came up with what they call muskets, and they've been pretty effective weapons. And so, we like the name.
Do you need a quarterstaff or anything?
I want everyone to roll a perception check. Galaxy was the only one that made her roll on that perception. So, Galaxy.
Yeah.
Ian waves for a woman that walks in. And when he does that, his arm comes out from underneath of the coat that he's wearing. And you notice that there seems to be some metal that's embedded into his arm. That's all. So this woman comes forward, and Ian introduces her. Everybody, this is
Charlotte.
This is Betha Stormwind. She's going to be your tour guide of sorts. She'll show you around. You can meet the boys and girls, and she'll get
find
you...
find her camp.
Nice to meet you, Betha.
And get a bite.
It's like, hey,
I'm Dave.
Hey, guys. Nice to meet you. So, what would the three of you like to do first?
Can you show us to any place so we can get a bite?
Sure. Follow me. We got tacos.
Wait, what's in the tacos?
The cheese, tomatoes, lettuce, ground beef. Our chef is up.
Is it hard or soft or both?
It's soft taco shells.
Ah, jeez. Okay, so
you get some tacos, you get some ale.
Do you have any chips?
They don't have any chips, but they've got like some hard bread that is fairly crunchy.
I would like some chips.
They don't have any chips. Do you have a spell that say bring me chips?
Yeah.
That would be a pretty convenient spell. I'd use that spell.
Bring me chips.
Bring me chips. Chips just appear. Or someone runs out as fast as they can to the closest place to purchase chips.
It's a cantrip. It's a cantrip.
It's not a cantrip. That's a powerful spell. That can't be a cantrip.
It has to be a cantrip. Give me chips.
So can you show us some people around here?
Sure. So you guys met. Okay, so you know Ian. Betha, she's the one that's showing you around. You met Rusty. He's the dwarf that originally brought you back here. And the other person that you meet, his name is Alvin, but everyone calls him Blondie for some reason.
Alvin.
And he's not blonde.
Yeah,
and he's a tinker gnome. And he's fiddling around with a musket. when he comes up, and he's super stoked to meet all of you guys. He's like, hey guys, hey, how's it going? Hey, have you seen one of these before? This is a musket. It's my latest design. It works really, really good. It makes a loud noise, lots of flesh. It's fantastic. Do you want one? I'll make you one. Come back in a couple of days and I'll make you another one. What do you think? And he gets distracted and starts working on something else. And Betha is like, that's Blondie. So, he'll do most of the talking.
I have a question.
But lots of information. Lots of information. You just gotta keep up.
But I have a question. Why do people call him Blondie?
It's kind of like calling a big guy tiny, I guess. You meet a bunch of other people. Everyone's super nice. And
except
for the villain named Shady McShadester.
Who's that?
No, I'm kidding.
Shady McJerkface.
Shady McJerkface. She shows you around the little bit of the ruins that they've explored so far, which isn't much. They've only gone in a couple of rooms. And she says, down that hallway leads into the rest of the ruins that we haven't gotten to yet. So be careful if you're going to be going wandering around without anyone, because we don't know what's down there. But I'm cool just chilling here until Ian tells us we're ready to go. But eventually, we'll make our way in there and probably spend a couple days here, and then we'll head back to home base.
Where's home base?
Further north up in the mountains.
So I'm setting up my sleeping bag and ready to sleep.
So fast forward, you guys meet everybody, you make camp, and everyone's making their beds for the night. And they are going to set sentries.
I'm going to go around and offer to give blessings to anyone who wants the blessing of Mishakal, and then I'm just going to do a watch with our group.
Sure, that could be one of the things that happened during the day that you were able to give.
Okay. Yeah, it already happened.
Do a sermon.
I think Jed's dead.
Why would you bring that up now?
I know, but...
Does that make you sad?
Yeah.
But you got to have hope that he's alive. You can't give up on him. Do you think Jed would give up on you? Maybe. You know what? And he's tough. I won't believe he's dead until I see a body.
So then you all go to sleep? Okay. You wake up the next morning. Dave, I want you to roll a perception check.
Okay.
No, Dave, not Galaxy.
I got a 17.
Just Dave.
9.
You got a 9? Okay.
I'm getting the worst roll so far.
I got 21.
Was it just a 9?
It was 7 plus 2.
Okay. All right, so that's when you hear Rusty screaming. Well, not screaming, but he's yelling. He's talking about thieves in the middle of the night. And he starts yelling, he's making a ruckus, and he's getting everybody's attention that's in the camp. He's like, someone snuck into camp last night and took my stuff. Who is it? And he starts accusing people. He starts yelling at people, and everyone's shaking their heads. They're shrugging. They have no idea what he's talking about. And then that's when his eyes land on Dave. And he points at you, and he goes, you! You're the new ones here. I bet you took it.
We didn't do it.
I am a priest of Mishakal, sir, and if you are calling me a thief, that's not just an insult against me. It's an insult against my order and my goddess. So, and then I want to use thaumaturgy. Then I want to use thaumaturgy.
Okay.
And make my voice, deep and, louder and be like, so I would think very carefully about your next words.
You want to roll an intimidation?
12.
He's not that intimidated.
Okay.
But it was impressive. It was, it was dramatic.
It was more an expression of my anger.
Right. So he keeps, rallying along this, saying he's like, we never had any problems with anything ever being taken. And it just so happens when these three new people that appeared out of nowhere suddenly show up, now there's things that are missing. So Ian comes out and he starts trying to calm Rusty down. He starts talking with other folks and they work it out with them. And Ian comes over to you, Dave. He says, Dave, I'm really sorry about this. Can we just check your bag?
So I've got nothing to hide. Feel free.
He opens up the bag and there is a very fancy dagger that's inside your bag that you've never seen before, and it's gold and jeweled and
crusted. I'm shocked.
And Rusty's like, there it is. There's my dagger. I knew it, you little thief.
I did not take that dagger.
Someone put it in there.
Slept the night through.
Calm down. Rusty gives him the dagger back. We don't know what's going on here. They have no reason to be stealing your dagger. And this is a priest of Mishakal that's here. That
you know about the maces, right? And Rusty's like, yeah, so? He's like, you know what he had to go through to get one of these, right? Yeah, so? And that goes back and forth a couple of times. And it's just like, he's not
a liar and a thief could not become a priest of Mishakal, Rusty. I'm beginning to lose my patience.
And Rusty is just being an obstinate dwarf. He's just being stubborn, but Ian seems to be pretty satisfied that you're beyond reproach with this. Rusty goes off in a huff. So that's the end of that interaction. Everybody goes back to what they were doing with the mornings, getting breakfast and coffee ready and all that. So they start getting groups together, and you haven't seen Rusty since that encounter, and they're starting to get groups together, sending people outside, still surveying and looking around the outside of the ruins, and they're about to get parties together to go inside the ruins. They get sent in, and almost immediately there's screaming that comes from the hallway that they ran down, and the group comes running back. It's Rusty. They've got Rusty's body with them, and he's dead.
Who's they?
The group of musketeers that they sent into the ruins to do their preliminary searching.
They came back out with a dead Rusty.
They came back out with a dead Rusty.
Oh, is that monster?
Yeah, what does he look? Yeah, can you tell how he died? Is he like mangled, or does he have any wounds?
It looks like it was like blunt force trauma to the back of his head. So everyone's in an uproar now, and people are getting, there's heated conversations. Oh, so to be clear, the people that went into the ruins, they didn't have Rusty with them when they went in. You don't know what happened to Rusty during the day.
That's right. He disappeared.
He disappeared. When that group went into the ruins, they found his body in there. Betha, your sort of
chaperone.
And she speaks up on your behalf. She's like, I've been with them the entire time. It's like, I can account for all, three of them. The entire day.
And thank you, Betha.
And he nods. He's like, okay.
I think we might. It's a good idea for us to go, because when we wake up, if there's any more weird things, we don't really want.
It's gonna get blamed on us. Or we could keep our own watch tonight. Last night we all just went to sleep, but tonight we could take turns watching out for each other to make sure that no weird stuff happens again.
Ian has suspended any more parties going into the ruins for the day. He wants to calm things down a little bit. They want to get Rusty's body prepared and give him the last rites that they would normally do for a lost person of the Musketeers. And I imagine that the three of you probably help out in any way that you can around the campsite.
I would definitely offer my services in the funeral rites, being a priest.
Okay. Normal day stuff of them going through like training and cleaning and, you know, taking care of their weapons and chopping wood and getting the supplies ready. And they're doing their planning for the next day, because they're going to try and go back into the ruins.
Yeah.
So nighttime comes around. So what do you guys want to do this time? It's like, do you
keep watch?
You want to keep watch?
And I'll take the middle watch, because that's the hardest watch to take.
I'll do keep watch too.
All right, so you're going to do watch. Dave is going to do the middle one. Who wants to be the first person on watch?
I'll be.
Okay. Mimi is going to be first. And Galaxy,
then Galaxy will go third.
You're going to take the last leg.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're going to have a last
leg. So Mimi, everyone goes to sleep and is getting towards, everything's quiet. Just a little bit of wind that you can hear outside. And in the distance, you can even hear a coyote howling out in the distance. And it's starting to get towards the end of your watch. And just about when you're going to wake Dave up for his turn, that's when you see someone, you see a figure that moves down the hallway towards the ruins. You can't see who it is, but someone's definitely is up and about right now.
I kind of back up a little, and then I kind of, like, with my foot, I kind of, like...
Oh, so you kick him? Okay. All right, yeah. Both of you guys... Yeah, both of you roll perceptive checks again with advantage. So roll it twice and pick the higher of the two numbers.
5 and 13.
5 and 13.
I got a 17 that time.
You got a 17. Okay, so Dave wakes up. But Galaxy's just...
Dave! Stop! I think I found the person who killed Rusty.
I'm going to use Thaumaturgy again.
Okay.
and I'm going to make the ground shake. I start shaking the ground, and then it's just really loud voice. Everybody on your feet. Wake up now.
21. I got 21.
For what? What were you rolling?
Perception check.
Okay, you wake up now. After the, it feels like an earthquake is happening and this booming voice.
Alarm! Alarm! Wake up now!
Danger! Danger, Will Robinson!
And then I'm going to run over to Ian as he's waking up.
Okay.
And say, Mimi and I just saw someone disappear down that around that corner down that hallway.
Okay.
Da, da, da.
And he rouses the troops and is like, boys, everybody up! Everybody up! Get your weapons! Ian says, all right, I need volunteers. Who's going to be going in? All right, three of you. All right, and so there's three more musketeers that volunteer to go with you. And Ian leads the way. He's like, all right, boys, come with me.
And girls.
All right, boys and girls, let's go get this jerk.
And I've got my hilariously big mace just sort of hefted on my shoulder.
We haven't established in the show yet. As canon of how big the mace is, because Matt and I were talking before we started recording that as a halfling, this mace that he wields would be almost the size of him.
Yeah, because I'm 3 feet tall, and it would be at least, it'd be like 2 to 2.5 feet, probably like you said.
Right, right. And so, yeah, so this was a mace that was designed for humans that he's wielding. So this thing is gigantic in Dave's hands. Yeah, so you run down. So everyone, yeah, charges after you. Everyone in the campsite is awake and getting dressed, getting their armor, getting their weapons ready, and just being alert while the three of you and Betha and Ian and three other musketeers all go charging down the hallway after this figure.
Everybody be quiet.
And you charge forward, go down the stairs, turn the hall. You turn the corner of the stairs, and you come to a wooden door that's been smashed down. So it does look like it got smashed down just relatively recently. There's a monster that's in this room.
It's pink.
Right. So this creature appears to be a gigantic mound of flesh. And mouths and teeth and claws. And as soon as you turn the corner and you see this creature, all the mouths turn towards you and open, and there's this cacophony of voices, of screams, of conversations, of moans of pleasure, of pain. It is this.
That is his mouth.
Right. Of all of
dozens of mouths.
Yeah, the dozens of mouths are all over this fleshy, slimy, bloody creature, and it is the worst noise that you've ever heard in your life. So this is when the three of you notice that everyone else but the three of you is frozen in terror, looking at this thing. Everyone is just wide-eyed, not moving, mouths open as they stare at this thing. So whatever, it's the three of you surmise that this creature, whatever it's doing, whatever it's screaming and whatever it's yelling, the conversations, the moans that are coming out of its mouth is having some sort of an effect on everybody else except for the three of you.
Interesting. It's interesting, especially because we're also immune to dragon fear.
And it lurches towards you, and it lurches towards you in the most disgusting way. Like, it's a wave of flesh that slams some of the mouths down onto the ground, and the teeth latch onto the ground and pull it forward towards you. God. And it leaves blood and pus and slime in its wake. So
broken shards of tooth, I would imagine.
All right, so it's in the middle of the room, so it's still like 25 feet away from you. So let's do initiative.
I got a 5.
I got a 7.
It's. I don't think it's one of these skills.
It's on the very top.
Yeah, it's at the very top.
Armor class and speed.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, so I got a 7.
Gonna be a pro at this, Sam.
7.
15.
So, Galaxy, you are first.
Burning Hands.
That one ruined a slime because...
All right, so for Burning Hands has a 15-foot... range on it. So you would need to run into the room a little ways, but then you could use Burning Hands on it.
Okay.
So that's all. You'd still be
Does it hit automatic?
No, it does actually get a dexterity saving throw. but dexterity is definitely not this creature's strong. Magic missile, I think, is the only spell of yours that hits automatically.
Oh, jeez.
But if you want to do burning hands, I think that's your most powerful spell right now.
Let's do it.
Okay. And this creature did not make its saving throw.
She got 13.
She got 13? Okay. Galaxy, you run into the room and raise your hands out in gouts of flame. Actually, you've got your wand of the War Mage in one hand, and you've got your hand open with the other one, and you point those both at the creature, and gouts of flame shoot out of your hands.
A lot of flames.
Yeah. And it's all the mouths scream out in pain, and you thought the noise before was bad of all the mouths doing the screaming and talking and all that. This is 10 times as worse. And the only thing keeping you from covering your ears is because there's flame coming out of your hands right now. All right. So, Mimi, you're up in the attack now. So what are you going to do?
I'm doing my claws first.
Oh, okay. So you turn into a bear.
You charge. Do I do my 20 sider?
Yep. So you charge forward, turn into a bear, and you're going to do your claw attack.
Natural 20.
You got a 20? Oh. Do you know what that means? That means you get to do double damage. So what's the damage for your claws?
2d6 plus 5 slashing.
2d6 plus 5?
Plus attack plus 6 to hit.
So you roll. So now roll 4d6 plus 5.
Not plus 10.
So what's a 4d6?
So roll.
4d. Yeah, the roll cubes. The 6-siders. You need 4 cubes.
I only have 3.
Yeah, so then you're going to have to roll one more on top of it.
Yeah, so like roll 3 and then roll 1.
I got a 5, 2, and a 4.
Oh, was that equal?
That equals 11.
Okay, now roll one more.
Oh, just one. Just one more. Three.
I got 15.
So 15 total?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. All right, so that was your claws.
So that was, but then it's 15 plus 5, right?
Oh, yes.
So 20 total.
Okay. Yeah, now roll your bite.
Okay, I roll it, girl. Oh, where did it go?
Okay. Yep, 20 sider again.
18.
That is a hit. Roll the damage for that.
Oh, I did terrible. The bear's your favorite animal. I did 2.
Plus 5.
So 7 damage total.
Oh, I did good.
All right. So both the girls hit this
hit
mound
hard.
Of flesh. Hit it hard. Dave, you're up.
I'm going to shoot it, I think, with my crossbow.
Yes.
Sorry, I got an 8.
You got an 8?
I missed by a mile, probably.
Not by a mile, but you do miss. So it's this creature's turn now.
Oh, jeez.
This thing is going to go after Mimi.
Oh, dang. But I have 34 hit points.
Darn right.
So this thing gets multi-attacks.
Uh-oh.
Dang it.
All right, so this thing is going to do... It's surprise, surprise, it's got a bite attack with all the mouths that it has.
Oh. Right.
So it goes out to bite you and misses. That's it. It only gets a multi-attack if that one actually hits. So,
oh, nice.
So all of these mouths reach out at once and try and get you, and you back away real quick in your bear form. So now, Galaxy, your
don't
turn.
Don't mess with a bear! You know what I'm going to do.
Burning hands. All right, so...
She's got to sculpt it.
Don't mess a bear!
Dexterity saving throw.
That's one of my gods.
Does not make the dexterity saving throw, so
nice.
So roll the damage. So, and you sculpt the spell so it doesn't hit Mimi.
Got 7.
So, yeah, you shoot out flames again. It sculpts around the big grizzly bear in front of you and all hits this mound of flesh and bone and teeth. All right, Mimi, this thing is not doing great right now. It's got chunks that got ripped off of it, burned. The stench is terrible right now because it's almost all charred right now. And your claws and bites from it last time took out huge chunks of it and sent blood and matter flying all over the room.
Ew. And my teeth are covered with blood.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I'm clean, so I'm brushing my teeth right now. And then I'm going for its bite, and 10 plus bite equals 15.
That's a hit. Roll the damage.
8.
8? Okay. Now do your bite attack.
Oh, well, then I get 11.
So then your bite hits as well. Roll the damage.
Okay.
So that's D8 plus 5.
And I got a 1. Plus?
5 is 6. Okay, Dave, it's your turn.
But I backed up quickly, so it won't get me.
Can I?
Well, you can't move away from it, because if you try and move away from it, like try and disengage from
it. Yeah, it gets an extra attack.
So, Dave, it's your turn, and this thing looks like a stiff breeze would knock it over. Right, okay. It is so close to dying.
Can I close the distance and hit it with my mace?
Yes.
Okay. All right, I got an unnatural 20.
Okay, you hit it.
Is he almost dead?
I do 6 damage.
And it is dead.
Oh, wait. No. I rolled the wrong die.
Oh.
Yep. Still 6 damage. But I did roll the wrong die.
Right, but yeah, way to take the wind out of that.
Sorry.
That sail of... Still dead.
Yep. So for
future reference, this creature that we were fighting, this was called a gibbering mouther. Now, the interesting thing that's going to happen here now is that everyone that was with you, they're still back in the hallway, and all of them are still frozen.
Uh-oh.
One of them's like...
And it's kind of like a comatose type of frozen of where like they're just standing there with their eyes wide open. They're still breathing. And they're not blinking, but there's like drool that's running out of their mouths. So, but they do eventually... They do come out of it after a couple of minutes. It's like they just, some of them start screaming. Some of them run back to the campsite. Others, like Ian is one of them, he sort of shakes off and is just like, what just happened?
I want to do a perception check to see if he was guarding anything or something.
There is another door beyond this room. You don't find anything else. There's nothing to loot off of this dead, grotesque thing. But you do notice that the door leading out of here looks like it did get locked from the other side. So whoever did come down here, they intentionally broke down this door and then locked the other door so that we would have to deal with this creature.
Wait, did that creature eat...
You don't think so, because whoever came into this room was able to get to the other door and lock it from the other side. Yep. So they were able to bypass this creature somehow and got through the door and locked the creature into this room so that we would have to deal with it. And Ian says, all right, I've had enough of this horse crap. This is where I conveniently switch out the swear words to make it family friendly. Yay!
Final!
Boys, we're camping. We're breaking camp. We're getting out of this place. I've had enough of this. Let's head back to Olympus. So in Olympus, that's the if it didn't come up in conversations before, that's the name of their home base.
I think they would have told us because we asked.
Right. It just didn't come out in the conversation.
Right.
And he looks at the three of you and he says, you know, it's the three of you. From what we've seen, you come in real handy in a pickle and a fight, and we would all be dead men if you weren't here. I don't know what the heck that thing was or what happened to us, but thank you. Thank you very much.
We don't even know what it was.
Can I talk to Dave Galaxy privately just for a couple of secs?
Oh, yeah, sure. Take all the time you need. We'll head back to camp and just join us when you're ready.
So I think... Should we go back to Westman or should we come to their town?
Well, Westman. We're thousands of miles from Westman, so I'm not really sure how we're going to get back there at this point.
So, I think we should go to their town.
I agree.
Okay.
Can we gather all our stuff?
Yeah.
Of course.
I need my pillow.
Where is Ian? Ian, like, where is he right now?
He took his troops with him back to the campsite, which is not far away, because you got to remember, from the camp, the room that we were in that they made camp, we just went down a hallway and down some stairs, so we're not far.
And
from
so
them.
It's still the middle of the night right now,
right?
Too, so.
Right. But Ian, it's like he was adamant. He's like, yeah, we're getting out of this place. This place has been nothing but
right
trouble.
Now in the middle of the night.
Yes. He's like, he's
dangerous.
He doesn't want to have anything else to do with this place.
Okay.
So we come out of there and I tell him we are coming with you back to your town.
No, that's great. Glad to have you with us. Can't wait to show you around Olympus. You're going to love it.
Is anyone from your group missing, Ian?
Just Rusty.
Okay. Just curious, cuz whoever that person was that we saw who sicked that gibbering monkey or whatever it was on us.
He's like, that's a good idea. He's like, we'll do a quick roll call before we head out. And you do it, and yeah, nobody else is missing. It was just Rusty.
And I'm really curious how Rusty died.
So it looked like he just got bashed in the back of the head. Someone snuck up behind him and then just hit him in the head really, really hard. Throughout the troops, you do hear folks whispering and rumoring about how this place is just cursed. And we never should have came here, and they're supporting the decision of Ian to get us out of here as quickly as possible.
So we pack up, and then we're off to go to this town.
Well, what about Jed?
We don't know how we can get back to Jed. He's thousands of miles away.
He is?
Yeah. Yeah, you're thousands of miles away from Jed.
How?
We don't. Well, that platform we got on somehow this, transported us.
Yeah, this platform and that flash of light transported you to this room, this new room with other people.
To the other side of the continent, basically.
Yeah, to the other side of the continent.
So we'll never see him again?
Ian did mention that they do have some griffins.
What's griffins?
They've got a couple of trained griffins and riders that they could potentially... Oh, a griffin is it's a magical creature that's half lion, half eagle.
Yeah, it's got the body of a lion, but then its front legs are like eagle legs with the talons, and then it's got the head and chest of an eagle. And then the torso and the back, and it has wings. And it has the back legs and body of a lion.
And they're really big. They're big enough.
Yeah, they're huge.
They're bigger than horses.
Yeah.
So you could potentially put a saddle on them and ride them. You guys expressing concern about how are you going to get back to Jed? How are you going to be able to get back home?
How are we?
And let's get back to Olympus. We got a couple of different options. If any of our griffin riders get back, we may be able to get you back there within a couple of days. Other than that, there's wagon trails that we got that are going east all the time. You may be able to hitch a ride with them, but that will take weeks to get back.
Yeah.
We just don't have an instantaneous transporter available. I've never seen anything like that before, but we'll do what we can to get you home as fast as we can, because again, very grateful for what you did back there for me and my men.
So then we're out of the place and we're walking back.
Yeah, middle of the night. You pack up all your stuff with torches, and everyone's got their weapons
in
hand.
No, I'm doing dancing lights so everyone can see.
That's a great idea. Great idea. So, yeah, you light the way. You march out of this cursed ruin of where you came in.
I'm going to carry someone.
You're going to carry someone?
Yeah.
What, with mage hand?
Yeah.
No.
Baby.
Find a baby to carry.
Find a baby to steal.
No, I did not steal a baby.
I remember that. I want to find someone with a baby.
So, yeah, you guys leave behind the ruins and the transporter and the last place that you saw Jed, and hopefully you get some answers and some help to get you back home